all still got bodies and legs. And not just a stack of disembodied heads sitting in front of me. I was beginning to wonder. On your tables, you should have a track and trace sheet to write your name on. If you can just record that you've been here on that table, that would be good. On your chairs, you've got a privacy statement about what we're going to do with that information, which, you know, you may or may not wish to read, but we have to give it to you. But our service is going to be slightly different today, as you might expect. You've all might have noticed you're all sitting around tables in groups of six. That's the idea. And I thought it'd give us a bit of a chance to talk. There will be some chances to talk and discuss things on your tables during the service, just because we haven't seen each other for ages and it'd be nice to be able to talk. So I'd like to open the service today with a psalm. And you might expect it to be a psalm of praise. After all, it's such a joy to be back. But today I want to start with something a little more subdued as we consider the last months. Because when we try to forget our difficulties, it brings us a couple of problems. First is the suggestion that they don't matter. It doesn't matter that we haven't been here for a year and a half. And of course it matters. And it makes us forget the blessing that comes from remembering just what it is that God's brought us through. So we turn to the Psalms today, not just for praise, but for lament. Lament at the losses that we've endured. Loss of people, loss of time, loss of health, loss of finances for some, loss of this connection. And as we've described our time in lockdown as a time of exile, I thought we could just listen for a moment to this song. Not a hymn that we sing in church, but a popular song based on Psalm 137. Would you like to play it for us, Katie? And Kate, have you set it to recording, by the way? So just consider what we've been through over the last year. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look back on the last year, you know that we have wept. We've lost much that cannot be regained. We've struggled to sing your song in unfamiliar circumstances. We've experienced or witnessed much pain and suffering. And Lord, we acknowledge that, because only in acknowledging it can we experience your healing and comfort. But we know that you do heal and comfort, Lord God. Just a few psalms further on, we read, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So we pray that as we meet today, you would heal and bind our hurts. That we might have a very real sense of your presence in this place, holding, restoring, and giving us hope. As we worship you, may we be lifted above our circumstances to fix our eyes on you. As we read your word together, may we be encouraged and envisioned for the future. And above all, may your name be known and your glory be shown in this place and in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about laying the foundation. That means today we're building. Our reading this morning is from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king, a kind of minor court official. He heard that the temple had been rebuilt, but the walls of Jerusalem were still broken, making the Jews living there both vulnerable to attack and an object of shame amongst their neighbours. who would see that God hadn't fully restored them. The first thing he did was to mourn and fast and pray. Then he went to the king, who gave him permission to go and rebuild the walls of the city. The governing officials there and the army of Samaria mocked him and tried to dissuade him, even by physical attack. So we come to our reading this morning, which is from Nehemiah 4, verses 10 to 20. And Rose is going to read for us. You can take your mask off to read, Rose.
Meanwhile, the people of Judah said, "The strength of the labourers is given out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also our enemies said, "Before they knew it or see it, they were right there amongst them, and will kill them, put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Whatever you turn, they will attack you." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall, at the exposed places, posting them by families, with their swords and spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your home." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armour. The officials posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried material did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded a trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us, and there our God will fight for us."
Thank you. Our songs now remind us first that Jesus is building his church, and second that God is a strong tower in which we find refuge. You can't sing, but you can join in the actions. Debbie and John can come up and sing.
Gates of hell
and the gates
If you want to stand to do the actions, you're more than welcome. Don't know them.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Just run into it, and they are saved. Woo! The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Woo! Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Most High. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord. A strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Most High. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Most High. And they are saved.
If anything, it's harder not to sing when you're doing the actions. So the people are working hard to build the wall. And my girls are sitting at the back with the Lego building their own wall. But each person's building in front of his own house or his own workplace. Each has a vested interest in getting this done. You want your bit of the wall to be safe for the sake of your family and your livelihood, as well as for the sake of Jerusalem as a whole. But they're getting tired, they're in danger from their enemies, and they're afraid. So Nehemiah organises a system. A system by which each could do what was important to them, but at the same time were able to help their neighbours if the need arose. He identified the weak points of the wall and gave them extra support. And as they worked, they were ready to fight, remembering all the time that God would be on their side. So I'm just going to look at those points for a moment. As we apply them to our own project of rebuilding after our exile. And I've got some questions for you. The people were tired and afraid. As we come back to church, what are you afraid of? What makes you anxious? It might be COVID-related, although I see lots of green badges around, which is nice. Might be that you're anxious about social distancing or that church with masks on won't be as friendly as it used to be. It might be task-related. Perhaps you're anxious that you might be asked to do something. You might become overburdened. It might be people-related. Having not seen anyone for a long time, we've not needed to worry about what other people think or what they might say. It might be church-related. Perhaps you're anxious that there's not as many of us here as we would like. And these fears play on our minds and try to stop us building as we should be. And as this is quite a personal question, I'd really like for you to write your fear on the post-it note that I left on your chair on the pieces of paper, if you can find it. Just write down a couple of words on the underside of the note, so the sticky, the side that has the sticky on it, so no one else can see it, and then you can stick it to the table without anyone seeing it. There are pens around. I'll give you a couple of, well, not a couple of minutes to do that. It won't take you very long. But just think, and if you're not anxious about anything, just imagine that you were. And imagine what that might be. What sort of things might someone be anxious about? And once you've done that, if you stick it to the table, and I'll come and have a look later. But we get back to Nehemiah. How did he help people face their fears? Well, first, each person could do what was important to them. I've talked in recent weeks about serving out of love, serving because it's something we want to do. And each of us here will have things that are important to us. And those things won't be the same for everyone. So as we return to worshipping together here, what is it that's important to you? Just take a moment in your groups and appoint a writer. On your yellow piece of paper on the table, just talk about what's important to you coming back to church. And just note that down on your paper. So in your groups between you, what's important to you about coming back to church? And if you've got someone sitting on their own near to your table, they're part of your group still, so you can They don't have to move necessarily, but... And when you've thought of what's important to you, when you've thought what's important to you coming back to church, how can you be part of rebuilding that? So they did what was important to them, but they were also able to help their neighbours if the need arose. And I guess this is something I probably skated over in my previous sermons, that we are to serve out of love and do the things that are important to us. But there will be occasions where something isn't directly important to us, but it's important to someone else, and they need our help. You know, we're called to care for one another and consider one another's needs. So again, take a moment in your groups to think, what's important to other people about church that they might need help with from time to time? Not the regular work that's important to you, but what things that you haven't already mentioned in your groups can you recognise as being important to someone else? So we've got things that are important to us, and I'd encourage you to think about how you can help with rebuilding those on a regular basis. We've got things that are important to other people, and I'd encourage you to think about if that's something you could help with from time to time. But Nehemiah also gave extra support to the weak points. The bits that weren't particularly important to anyone. But Nehemiah realised that the wall was only as strong as its weakest point. So if they ignored those unimportant parts, they could easily be attacked. So these are the bits that no one has a burning desire to do, but that still need to be done. What might they be in the church? And how do we go about supporting those gaps? What are the things that no one really wants to do, but they need to be done? Not necessarily important. And finally, if you can draw your discussions to a close. Finally, as they worked, they were ready to fight, remembering that God would be on their side. If we're building something great in this place, we will experience opposition. We will experience discouragement. And we need to be ready, as Paul says in Ephesians, with the armour of God. Our equipment to accompany our building, that we might stay strong in our service and not be overcome by anything. But ultimately, we remember that it's God who we serve. And it's God who both builds and fights for us. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And what we do, here or outside, is not done in our own strength, but in His. So what is it that we're building? Nehemiah's wall was a wall of protection and a wall of confirmation. He built a place of safety and a place which proclaimed God is still standing. And we're building too a place of safety from worldly life where God reigns. And we know love and not hate, forgiveness not anger, generosity not oppression, righteousness and not sinful living. And a place which proclaims God is still here. So as we build in the strength of God, let us all do our part. Support one another. Pay attention to the things that no one wants to do. Put on our spiritual armour and work in His name. But let us not build a wall that shuts other people out, or indeed a wall which locks us in, but a wall which offers welcome and safety and proclaims to the world that Jesus is Lord. The Father is here, the Spirit is moving. God is at work in this place. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you praise and thanks for our return to worship in this building. We thank you for your presence with us over the past months and the ways in which we've learned to worship outside these physical walls. As we come back today and begin to rebuild in the new normal we face, may the walls we build not be to keep ourselves in or others out, but be a proclamation of your might and power that all might see and believe. Guide our steps by your Holy Spirit and strengthen us by your loving power that we may serve you and each other and this church to your glory. Amen. I'm going to share with you another song now. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live.
Now, as we're not supposed to bring the microphones round, as we come to our prayer time now, I'd like you to take a moment to tell just in your groups any prayer requests that you might have. Our normal prayer list is on your newsletter too, so please do take note of that when you're at home to continue to pray for those people. And if you'd like to pray together in your group, you may do that. Otherwise, I'll give you a couple of minutes and then I'll lead us in prayer. So just in your groups, share any prayer requests that you might have. Let's pray together. Lord, you have heard our discussions. You know what and who is on our hearts. We lift to you those who are sick and in need of a healing touch from you. Would you place your hands on them? Let your love surround them. Fill them with your spirit to bless and keep them. And may they know your power at work in their lives. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving. Would you comfort them in their loss and give them peace? May they know your everlasting arms around them. Lord, we pray for those experiencing other kinds of difficulty or trouble right now. May they be able to hand that to you, to know your guiding, sustaining, and redeeming power. And Lord, we pray for the COVID situation. Thank you for the freedom that we do have. We pray that it will be treasured and not abused, that full healing and freedom may follow. Guide governments and leaders to make the right decisions for their own countries and in generosity to one another. We pray for countries experiencing conflict, injustice and oppression. May they find ways of moving forward in peace and justice. Raise up good and godly leaders to teach them your ways. We pray for your people in these countries, that they might know your protection and your strength. And we pray that your word might be shared throughout the world, that people might come to know you, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the end of our service today, I'd like to invite you to step out into the car park where we can join together in actually singing with actual noise our final hymn. Please take your possessions with you so you don't have to come in and out. And when you're out there, observe social distancing, be aware of the people around you. Chairs are available out there if you're unable to stand.